Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so we are going through the history of worship, right? And this morning is time when I'm excited to be in the midst of the sermon series as we've been tracing, because this has been a wonderful week of worship for me. That we had fantastic communion worship, spirit-filled worship last Sunday morning that was just wonderful to gather around the word and gather around the table together. And then Wednesday night to have the kickoff of Quad, to bring the lights down, and to have really a more intimate time with God, to be singing praises, to be having interactive time of praying with God, and really, to me, a neat celebration to have from 3 years old to 93 years old, singing and worshiping together and going through stations together and realizing this is what the church is about, that we ate and we worshiped and we had Bible study and the whole church family was here, and just neat to see that vision come together, but really to be fueled by that worship time. And then it didn't end there. Last night we had almost 30 people, youth, young adults, and adults from our church go down to the Long Beach Arena for a worship concert. 10 different worship and Christian bands that were playing, and it was loud. My ears are still ringing. Midori said hers are too, so be thankful that she's doing such a beautiful job playing this morning. But it was just so exciting to be with thousands of people packing into the arena, giving praise and worship to God, to hear these groups giving testimony, and wow, just group after group talking about these struggles that they had gone through, getting diagnosed with digestive problems that just about cost them their lives. Jeremy Camp, a worship artist that I love, talking about being a 20-something-year-old that 4.5 months into his marriage lost his wife to cancer. To hear about those fighting major struggles and God getting them through with their faith, and you hear it in these songs that they're singing that just reminds you of David, who took such life experience and gave us the Psalms out of it. And for me, just what was overpowering after preaching last week, and here I stood before you and talked about, are we giving the resources of worship to our youth? Are we passing it on to the next generation? Are we preparing them? And then here I'm sitting in this row, and I've got youth director on one side, and I've got youth and young adults on the other side, and all of a sudden we both look over, and we look at these youth, and she's literally crying, and I'm just about in tears, looking at them just pouring their hearts out to God. To see these youth with their hands that just wouldn't come down, and just seeing them sing with everything in them, seeing hands clasped in prayer and just being overwhelmed by this experience. And I was like, wow, what a generation we have right there. And just the Holy Spirit was just so overpowering in the presence of everything that was happening, and seeing them and hearing them respond of just wanting more and wanting more and wanting more. And I'm like, this is what worship's really about. Just that getting down to our hearts with God in any way that we can. You know, I talk about the batteries of the church, but there's the batteries of our faith life, the worship. But as I thought about these batteries, as I was just charged last night and just my faith just being renewed in that moment, I thought about how much I get fueled. And it related me into my laptop, because so often my brain does go electronic. And I thought about what a blessing when I got a laptop, because it made me mobile, right? You know, my laptop, as I'm a student and as I'm a pastor and living far from both these places, and what a blessing that my laptop made it so that everything that was important to me and my documents and my pictures and everything I was working on and my papers could go with me. that I could carry my laptop to school and be taking notes in class and between classes working on papers, and then I could take it to work in my office and I could work on my sermons and my Bible studies and sending out my emails and communicating and taking it home, and if I needed a break from all that, I could go to Starbucks and I could work from there, or I could take it to conferences and work from there and stay in communication. I mean, what a blessing that I'm not tethered to a computer at a desk that makes it only one place that I could do all these things from. But wouldn't you know, I could not even tell you how many times I've pulled out my laptop and it starts screaming at me, low battery. And I go reaching into my bag and realize it's still plugged into my wall at home. I grabbed the computer, but not the power cord, and now all of a sudden I can't do any work. I can't do anything because I don't have a power source. The mobility is great that it goes with me, but it's got to have a power source. Well, I told you in our faith, our worship becomes our power source, where we sit and we put ourselves vulnerable and intimate with God and be filled by His Holy Spirit. But see, here's the trouble. In Isaiah, in this passage, God was relating through Isaiah that the Israelites were having some big struggles. Because these Israelites, what they were doing at this time was saying in Isaiah that they were coming in and basically checking the box. I've been to worship. Check, my attendance was filled. Check, I followed the law. Check, I held Sabbath. Check, I was here and gave my sacrifices. But Isaiah was saying they were coming in and they were checking the boxes and they were following the human laws that they were given by God, but their hearts weren't there. Their hearts weren't in the worship. Their hearts weren't there connecting with God. It's like they were getting right to that outlet with the cord, but never actually plugging it in. But it got worse than that. Because those Israelites, they were coming in for worship on Sunday morning, and even if they were putting their hearts into it, then they were just going on in the rest of the week doing whatever they wanted. They were coming in, they were plugging in for an hour on the Sabbath, and then unplugging until they came back a week later. Well, I don't know about you, I can't go a week without powering my laptop. I can't go an hour without powering my cell phone. Last night, I almost ran out, and I thought I was going to go crazy. But here we expect, Sunday morning, we plug in, and we think that's going to be our charge for the week, our one worship time. But you know what? I stand here as pastor to tell you, if you're expecting me to fill you with everything you need to cover a whole week, and you know, our choir is phenomenal, but if you expect us to give you everything you need for a week, that's a huge expectation. And I think even the tabernacle and whatever pastor you want to put as the greatest you can think doesn't have enough power to fuel you spiritually for an entire week. You see, in Isaiah, he's talking to the people and he's telling them, worship can't just be a box that you check on Sunday morning where you temporarily plug in and then go back to your life. He was telling the people, if you want to get right with God, if you want to be following how God wants you to be, if you want to be with that source, worship has to be not a once a week thing, but a way of life. Now, my laptop would be optimum if everywhere I went, I immediately plugged it in, and that battery life always said 100%. Because then my laptop would always be saying, I can do everything you need right now, and I can do it as long as you need me to. I can be completely reliable and dependable as long as you have me plugged in. Now, if I think about with that laptop, why would I think differently of my life? Why would I want to let my spiritual batteries all week just diminish, and pray that it's going to make it? Or I can seek to live my life in such a way that I'm always plugged into the power source, that I'm always giving praise, that I'm always giving worship, that I'm working at always connecting with God so that my spiritual batteries aren't diminishing. of how I worship with my interactions with other people. The interactions that I have on Sunday morning with my church family should be no different than the interactions I have with people in everyday life. Why would it be different the way I treat somebody in the fellowship line than the way I treat somebody in the grocery store line? Why wouldn't I say, good morning, how are you doing? Good to see you this morning. That's a really great loaf of bread you've got right there. Why wouldn't I take that worship attitude into everything? Why wouldn't, if I love singing the hymns on Sunday morning, if I was totally charged by that concert last night and getting to be in that worship, why wouldn't I want to have that as often as possible during the week? By what I play on my radio in my car and having the willingness to sing along, or how I feel the sounds of my office or my home, to be surrounded by that worship music and those psalms and that witness in the music? Why wouldn't I be spending my time in prayer on my knees and giving praise? Why do I wait to turn my card into on Sunday morning? Why would I wait when God says, if two or three are gathered, I am there? And if I have a prayer need that comes, if something's weighing on my heart, if life is bowing down upon me, to call up two friends from church and say, can we get together? Because I need to be praying. I need your support. I need to be in worship. Do you have a little time for me? Why would we wait for Sunday morning? God says, give it all to me. Give it all in praise. Give it all in glory. Give it all in worship and make it a way of life. So you don't come meet with me on Sunday morning and then go your separate way all week wandering who knows where, is what they were telling the Israelites, and then sneak back on Sunday morning and take that same pattern over again. He said, woe is coming to you with this habit of living, this habit of doing your own thing, this habit of looking at me as the potter and saying, I don't need you. God says, you need me. Later in Isaiah, he's talking about this all through the book. And he says later in the 58th chapter, he says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, if you keep connected in worship, and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way, not doing as you please, or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land. Doesn't that sound better than when we go our own way? Ride in the triumph of the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. He says, don't break from worshiping with me. Don't take time off to do your own thing, but stay plugged into me. The tougher life gets, the more the world is surrounding you, the more stress and strain and worry and busyness you're finding. All of that is triggers to say, be in worship with me. Lift your hands and your hearts up to me and tell me what you need. Praise me with your faith, and I will get you through. My friends, we have a power source above all power sources, one that desires to be worshiped, one that desires to be connected to us, one that desires to give us an energy and a fuel that makes us feel so young again. This is my secret. If you didn't know that, I get people that ask me, how do you have so much energy on Sunday mornings? And number one, it's because I hang out with the youth and I feed off of them. But number two, because I find my time to worship, that I take my time like last night, that every moment I can get to be in praise. I suck up every moment and say, God, fuel me, because I know you've got a job for me. I know you've got work to be done. I know it takes energy and I need it to come from you. And so I plug into that source and I push it back out when I lead you in worship, and I push it back out when I lead Bible study, and when I come visit with people and pray with them and go through leadership stuff. But if I wasn't plugging in more than just Sunday morning, I would have burnt out years ago. And my friends, your life is no different. God has a plan and a mission and a need for each one of you. He has you expelling those batteries all week, taking care of family, going to your job, helping people in need, serving in his name. My friends, I pray that you are finding your ways to plug into the energy source, that you are finding ways to be in worship and praise and prayer, that you're not passing up opportunities, that you're not skipping out on ways that you could be getting filled with the Holy Spirit, but that you're opening yourself up to receive his love and to ride in triumphant joy. My friends, don't just come to worship, but live a life of worship. Amen.